All right, let's go to the phone line where we've got Mr. Jim Willis of Marcellus Drilling News on the line with us here, helping people and businesses profit from Northeast Shale Drilling. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jason?
You know, I'm not too bad. Appreciate you coming on here to help some of the companies navigate through their annual meetings and fourth quarter, because one of the things I've observed, and I've certainly had a lot of people agree with me about the oil and gas industry, it seems that they get together for some meetings for 1 month, maybe 2 months out of the year, and then they make their decisions. And lo and behold, over the next 10 to 11 months, they manage those decisions. Now, that, of course, is not a blanket statement, but those people in the industry know what I'm talking about. And quite honestly, that's the way a lot of industries work. So appreciate you coming on to, you know, help us find out what's going on in the Marcellus, maybe some of the chatter locally that's going on. You do a great job at Marcellus Drilling News, keeping us updated on things that are happening. And I was talking with Tom Shepstone of Natural Gas Now, and I noticed that you had made a contribution to their website as well. So you're picked up by other outlets. Let's start with that a little bit.
Well, I mean, LNG is a huge story. It has been a big story, and it continues to be. It continues to grow. LNG almost single-handedly is, well, you know as well as I do, Jason, you know, you start talking about prices, like when you talk about crude prices and I talk about the price of natural gas, about the NYMEX price or any of the spot prices around, when we're talking about prices, it's always a complex mix of things that goes into it. You know, people will say when it comes to natural gas, well, weather's the main factor. You know, that really is what drives the price. Well, that's true, and has been true historically, that weather and, you know, if it's hot, particularly hot or particularly cold, more natural gas is going to be used for power generation, you know, heating and cooling and that sort of thing. But when it comes to the price, there are these other factors that can heavily influence, and LNG in the natural gas space is one of those. So over time, we've had a number of LNG facilities crop up, most of them along the Gulf Coast, a few along the East Coast, and they will take this fracked gas and liquefy it and load it onto these huge tanker ships, and it goes abroad. The last time I checked, the majority of our LNG goes to Asia, but increasingly a lot of LNG is going to Europe. And, you know, it wasn't so long ago, probably 6, 8, 10 months ago, I was reporting on and seeing stories about, you know, I don't want to make too broad of, you know, sweeping sort of statements, but you know, these haughty Europeans would say, well, we don't want the American frack gas, you know, that's nasty, you know, they frack for that stuff and so on. And so, you know, they kind of turn their noses up at our LNG. Well, all of a sudden they want all the LNG they can get from us. And the reason is because Europe, by and large, is refusing to tap their own supplies, number one. And they have plenty of their own supplies that they could tap. And so they're refusing to tap it because of, you know, man-made global warming and the whole, you know, GHG gases are heating the planet and that sort of thing. And so you get, for instance, Germany, you know, really turn, you know, wanted to turn its back on coal and natural gas, and they, you know, all in on wind and solar and renewables. Well, all of a sudden, things are going dark and prices are through the roof. And so they're scratching their heads saying, well, I guess we need natural gas after all. And so one of the big factors in our current price, yeah, we have weather, we have a lot of production going offline in the Gulf for periods, long periods of time because of tropical storms and hurricanes that have been coming through there. Totally understand that. That's that weighs big in the factor of price. But what also is weighing, maybe not equally as big, but it's a huge chunk, is the fact that these other countries really want to buy our LNG, our exports. And Europe has moved up the list and is now competing with Asia for importing the most of our LNG. So that's really what that story was all about, and sort of, you know, to give you the context and the broad sweep of how, you know, Europe and LNG is sort of helping to lift our prices here. And those prices are staying high, and that's really one of the big stories I've been writing about over the past month. It's just, wow, what a rocket ship natural gas prices have been on. So I don't know if that helps.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, what I was talking to Tom Shepstone about is one of the things that I would explain natural gas to people about was, you know, United States was at $3 for a long time, and China was at about $8-9, and Europe was at about $15-16. And now if we're taking a look at a 75% increase, if we're going from 3 to 5, you know, just we'll round it around to 75%. I mean, do the math now in Europe and China. If that 75% increase is going to happen over there, we're talking about just in America, all of the natural gas furnaces that have been, you know, put in people's homes over the last 20 years, you're going to have a little bit of an economic crunch. And then I'm looking at the rest of the globe too, because a lot of the world still, and will for a long time, rely on natural gas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not sure that algorithm would apply directly, you know.
I would agree, yeah, yeah.
In Europe, but you're right, it's much, much higher there than it is here, you know, percentage-wise, that's for sure.
Well, it's very important for you to point that out, and yeah, I should have started by saying this, you know, it's more of a thought exercise to start, you know, thinking of the different possibilities, and that's an old journalist trick, I guess, is to try to flesh out the different angles and et cetera. What I see is just, it's more of a premonition to come. And what I think is so interesting from a journalist standpoint and a reporter standpoint is, you know, you and Mr. Jim Willis and Tom Shepstone right there in Pennsylvania, man, you guys have such a forefront on the natural gas industry, because so much of the Eastern Seaboard and the world is coming out of that little county. It blows my mind how much natural gas gets pumped out of there.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there with everything? Yeah. Yeah. Give us an update
production
from boots on the ground. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sure. Production remains high. Although it's, you know, for a long time, for well over a year, production was trending down across pretty much all of the shale plays when it comes to natural gas, because the price was in the tank, right? It was low. It was $3, under $3, down in mid twos, you know, and like that. And it just was not all that profitable. And so what happened was, When we started this discussion, you were talking about, it seems like companies sort of set their policies, and then for the next 8 or 10 or 12 months, they kind of execute on it, and then there's like a redo, a reboot. And that pretty much coincides, and I would agree with that, that pretty much coincides with public companies getting ready, you know, releasing their budgets for the coming fiscal year. Because a lot of this is driven by investors. It's driven by, you know, what's the stock price, and can we get people to buy the stock, and can we get people to buy our notes and, you know, our debt and invest in our company so that we can use that money for more activity, for more capital expenditures. As you know, the oil and gas industry is very capital intensive. So they have to be drilling new wells and or completing wells in order to keep the production flowing. So the production aspect of it had been trending down because the price of gas was low, and because investors were punishing companies, and so they really got about a year and a half ago, they got the free cash flow religion. We're going to have to be profitable. And so even though prices started to creep up a little bit, they really have shown a lot of self-restraint, much less new drilling of new wells, brand new wells, more completions of drilled but uncompleted wells, right? In the natural gas industry, we have these things called DUCs, drilled but uncompleted wells. So they will drill the vertical part of the well, sink a hole, and then move on and wait until some point in the future to come back and complete that well, to complete it horizontally and to frack it. We've been drawing down the DUC inventory so we don't have to spend money on drilling new wells. So production was trending down, although not radically, just a little bit, just kind of trending down, holding even, trending down for quite a while. Well, now, with the prices that have been increasing, production is starting to creep up again. I'm assuming, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming that new well drilling is also going to start to increase. So far, we've been depending on that DUC inventory, the drilled but uncompleted wells, in order to keep the production flowing. But at a certain point, we're going to run out of that inventory, and that inventory is pretty low at this point because we've been burning it off. So what's happening here? Yeah, there's some new drilling here and there, some selective drilling, not nearly as much as I'd like to see. But then here in the Marcellus Utica, we have another problem. Let's assume that the price of natural gas goes to $10, right? And it hurts consumers because they're paying a lot more for new gas, but it's great for drillers, for producers, because the price is so high. Why not drill all they can and open up the spigots and just flow as much as they can? Then we hit the other problem that we perennially have here in Northeast, and that is lack of pipelines. The capacity now, I'd say within a year, we're going to hit our capacity once again. And so even if the price stayed high, and even if they wanted to drill all they could, how are you going to get it to market? With lack of pipelines, we're kind of in a pickle. So those things constrain how much we're going to be able to keep growing production here in the Northeast.
Jim Willis, Marcellus Drilling News. He also ventures outside of that Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York area and picks up a few, well, I don't even know what you want to call it, but you found a nice little tidbit out of West Virginia, huh? Looks like there's some property tax valuation changes when it comes to oil and gas. I know a lot of people, they need to know this. What did you find? What happened?
Well, what happened was, this is a story that I've been tracking for some period of time. Earlier in the year, the legislature passed a bill, and I was reporting on that bill in its early stages, and it looked pretty decent. It was going to, in West Virginia, and I don't know, every aspect of this, but I do know that they assess, property tax for the value of oil and gas coming out of a given property. And some of that, of course, is shared by landowners and by the producers. And so they were gonna run a change in the structure of that in order to sort of advantage landowners, in particular, rights owners. And by the time the bill got passed and compromises were made, at the end of the day, it didn't really accomplish what it set out to accomplish. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so instead of creating a sort of a simpler, streamlined, makes sense system, the government, as they do, complicated it. And and there's sort of, they punted the ball a little bit and said, hey, we're going to figure out what the permanent structure, the rule is going to be. But in the meantime, the state tax commissioner can develop this emergency rule and run this emergency rule. And so it all just kind of got mired. And so the legislators were hearing, you know, holding some hearings and getting some information about it. And that's what I reported on today. You know, I grabbed some information from an article out of West Virginia and passed that along to people, because there are a fair number of people that read my site that are landowners in West Virginia and are producers. Some of the biggest, I have some of the top names, the top people at the top companies that produce in West Virginia. And so this is of interest to them to sort of track this, keep track. How's this going to affect us, you know, and that sort of thing. And the bottom line here for me is it's a mess. You know, there is no figuring it out right at this point in time. So,
Jim Willis, Marcellus Drilling News. Now, how can people support your cause? I'm looking at your site, and you guys are accepting advertising now. Yeah. Boy, times are changing, huh?
Yeah. Well, I have, you know, for a number of years, I've had ads appear periodically. People, you know, they'll ask, and I'll say, well, you know, I won't turn down your money for that. And that helps. So certainly there is advertising, but it's, by and large, almost all the revenue I make from this site comes from subscriptions. And thank you for asking. Subscriptions, I try to keep reasonable. It's $7.95 a month, or $79.50 for a whole year. That saves you a couple of months. And, you know, people will say, well, gee, Jim, you know, I mean, I can get some, you know, I can get that information here, I can get that information there. I say, well, yeah, you can. But what you can't do is what I do every day, which is I spend, you know, a good chunk of my day culling through all the information that's out there and pulling out just that portion that's relevant, most relevant for people that have, you know, a keen interest in Northeast shale drilling and how it impacts. So it could be price information, it could be, you know, leasing information, could be regulations, it could be any number of different things, but if it's going to affect the shale energy space in the Northeast, that's what I'm pulling out on a daily basis and presenting to people. And so what I tell folks is, look, my value proposition for you is I've just saved you 6, 7, 8 hours a day, you know, and either of your own time or of paying an assistant or someone like that, and you get it for pennies from me.
Well, I'll give you two more value propositions, which is, in the restaurant business, we used to say nickels make dollars. And the regulatory oil and gas, agriculture, transportation, healthcare industry, nickels make hundreds of dollars. So, I mean, you know, the article that we just talked about and some of the news out of West Virginia, that could make some company hundreds of thousands of dollars. So at the end of the day, under $100 is a pretty good value proposition. And one story to pat myself on the back, which, why not? I'll do it. I had a guy call me because, you know, we did an interview and ran it and all this stuff like that. And he got a $14 million deal out of it. And I mean, right there, I mean, how do you put a number on that, you know, type of a thing? And but you know, he was in real estate and that sort of thing. So it works in a lot of different ways. I've had attorneys that have called me because they've gotten, you know, mineral case laws deals out of it, you know, that sort of thing. And so the idea is that, you know, nickels can make dollars and information can help your bottom line. And Marcellus Drilling News, you got some great information. And of course, we mentioned Tom Shepstone with Natural Gas Now. So we got to mention him as well. He does a very good job. But appreciate the time. And anything, you know, down the future, make sure you reach out to us. And what do you think people should know, just kind of in a final thoughts, as they get ready for their annual meetings, you know, coming out of the Marcellus or whatever it might be that you've really encountered, what's the one thing you think people should have at the top of their mind? That's a pop quiz, huh?
Here's the problem. There's what I think they should have at the top of their mind, but then there's what they will have at the top of their mind, right? So what I think they should have at the top of their mind is, looking around, finding some good deals, because I think there's good deals to be made right now in the space as far as maybe scooping up, mergers and acquisitions and that sort of thing. While the market is, quote, down, press it, and consolidate. What I think they will have at the top of their mind is the new buzzword, ESG, environmental, social, and governmental. And they're worried about, how can we lower our carbon emissions and so on. And, I'm not going to knock. Look, they have to get money from these woke investors in order to make it work. So they're going to have to play to them, right? But there's to me, there's an overemphasis on, how we can squeeze every last molecule of carbon dioxide out of the system, when in fact, the very product that they produce, when burned, produces carbon dioxide. I don't get it. But this is just taken over in the last 4 or 5 months. I think every driller in the Marcellus Utica has come out with some sort of statement and plan about ESG, environmental, social, and governance stuff. And it drives me nuts personally, but I understand, they're playing in a certain space and they need to attract investment and they're going to need to do these things. But for me, it's a distraction.